Misses, written by Ruth Park and read by Kate Hood. The old queen was dead, and King Edward well settled on the throne of England. In faraway New South Wales, in the town of Trafalgar, Hugh Darcy and Margaret Kilker were born. There were but a few months between their ages, Hugh being the elder. Trafalgar was first settled by a veteran of that battle. He used his prize money to go out to New South Wales with a cargo of sheep and horses. He applied for a grant on the well-watered tablelands and was assigned 30 convicts as slave labourers. It was his fancy to give them Jack Tar uniforms to remind him of his glorious days in Nelson's Navy. He called his property Trafalgar, and the four creeks that ran through it, Victory, Aboukir, Copenhagen, and Nile. The natives were a trouble at first, believing the sheep to belong to everyone, and much more easily speared than kangaroos. But the master of Trafalgar made short work of them by inviting them to hang around, waiting for white man's titbits, and then feeding them flour cakes primed with strychnine. The survivors did not connect the deaths with the white men. They believed the water had gone bad, as it sometimes did after a dry season. One old woman tried to warn the white people not to drink it, but they did not understand. She went away with the two or three others, and that was the end of them. Martin Darcy came to Trafalgar in the mid-1880s. It was then a small town. Already a single railway line ran through to freight out the timber milled in the encircling hills. Martin bought a horse and shingle scoop and set up on Aboukir Creek, hauling out gravel for the new roads. He was a sober, virtuous man, working as long as daylight lasted. The horse broke down before he did. When he was 40 years old, he began thinking about a wife. For some time, he'd been corresponding in formal terms with a young governess on a New England station. They had met on a train. He now went courting this girl, and in due course brought back to the dilapidated shanty beside the gravel works a frail, dark-haired bride called Frances. Frances entered upon her hard life with hope and gaiety. She had no knowledge that it was always to be hard because her husband knew no other kind of existence. He loved her, there was no question of that. For a short while his iron face softened, a little red crept into his cheek. He thought he might stroke her hair, but feared his calloused hand might catch in it and hurt her. He took off the leaking bark roof and replaced it with corrugated iron. He bought a small bow-legged stove so that she should not have to cook on the open fire. He promised that should he have a good season, the dirt floor would be replaced by planking. Frances, bemused by love and the conviction that at last she had something of her own, thought it all an adventure, like camping. It was some years before she understood that she had been brought to Aboukir Creek to become a part of her husband's life, not to have one of her own.